In 1519, Hernan Cortes made a decision that would echo through history. Upon landing on the shores of the New World, he faced impossible odds. Outnumbered and surrounded by uncertainty, he gave an audacious order: burn the ships. With no way to retreat, his men had one choice: fight to succeed or die trying. And they did succeed. Cortez's story isn't just about conquest. It's about commitment. It's about making bold decisions, eliminating excuses, and going all in on your vision. Welcome to Burning the Ships, the podcast where we explore what it means to take risks, push boundaries, and refuse to look back. I'm Jason Seward, your host. In each episode, we'll share stories, strategies, and insights to help you tackle your challenges head on. Overcome obstacles and make your own history. This is Burning the Ships. Let's get started. Welcome to another weekly ramble, Burning the Ship style, guys. And today I'm going to talk about work-life balance. And I'm going to go in a bunch of different directions, so buckle up and hang on for that. Before we get into that, I'm going to do JJ's joke of the week. And I just thought about it as I was saying this. We're actually doing, because we do two episodes a week, the weekly ramble and then the interview style show, then we end up having two. JJ has two jokes of the week, so still gonna call it JJ's joke of the week. Anyway, this week, he's given me a bunch of them now, so I've saved them in my notes on my phone, and I just pick out the ones. Okay, here's the next one on the list. JJ's joke of the week. Why couldn't the bicycle stand up alone? Because it was too tired. That's JJ's joke of the week. I feel like he's told me that one before, or I've seen it somewhere. But kind of a cute joke. We'll roll with it. But today, work-life balance. And I'm going to go, like I said, in a bunch of different directions here. It's something you hear a lot. It's kind of cliche, you know, work on your work-life balance. I know when I was in my corporate career, that was a, you know, kind of a reoccurring topic when we would have our quarterly meetings, or HR would come in and talk to us about, you know, balancing your home life and your, you know, your work life, and not letting either one get too far out of control, or not, you know, where you're not paying attention to either one enough or something like that. So, but I'm gonna go a little bit deeper with it and kind of share my thoughts around it, around work-life balance. Number one, I'd just, in general, the phrase alone, I just don't believe there, like, you're never gonna find a perfect balance, when it comes to work or business and your personal life, right? Some, because everything changes week to week. Now, there are some things, you know, you could have a job that you literally show up to 9 to 5, 5 days a week. As soon as you walk into that door, you've got to put that hat on. And when you clock out at 5 o'clock, you've got to take that hat off. And then you don't think about it anymore. It's not your business. You don't have to think about the P&L. You don't have to think about investors. You don't have to think about anything but doing your job. And then you can kind of leave it at the door and go home and then live your life. That's perfect work-life balance for those situations. So it's not that hard. Folks don't even have to think about work-life balance, because it's just, it's naturally a part of their weekly routine. Go to work, clock in, work, clock out, go home, rinse and repeat every week, week after week. I had a job like that. My insurance career was definitely not like that. I'll get into that in a minute. But my very first job, and I haven't really talked about this on this show, but my very first job worked for Dominion Power, a nuclear power company, that, you know, it's a big giant corporation. But they had a nuclear, they're a power company, but they have a nuclear power plant here in my hometown of Surrey, Virginia. And I spent 2 years with them, or about a year and a half, pretty much right out of college. I did a few things right out of college, but I worked for Dominion for a year and a half. And that was a true definition of clocking in and clocking out. I never had to think about my role with that company other than when I was on the clock with that company, right? And I worked a lot of hours. I was young at the time, and they had a lot of opportunities for overtime, which ramped up my income at the time and things like that. But it did not take me very long in that job to realize that that was not me. My brain is not cut out from that, for that daily structure of wake up, do the same thing, go in, clock in, do the same set of tasks every day, clock out, don't think about it again, go home, live a life, come home, blah, 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 blah. All that stuff drove me absolutely insane. So I identified that very, very quickly. Now, that job, had I stayed in it to this day, and I've got a lot of friends that work for that company, family that works for that company. It's a fantastic job. And same would have been for me if I stayed there. Fantastic in the sense it was a great company, great benefits, great income, and would have allowed me to stay, like, grow in a career right here in my hometown. But I could not stand it. I didn't mind the company, but the nature of that routine, could not stand it. So when I got an opportunity to leave, which was to leave to go to the insurance company I ended up working for about 17 years, I jumped all over it. And I actually, at the time, I took a significant pay cut because the insurance job was a mix of salary and commission, but the base salary without any commission was way less than what I was making at Dominion. But I did not care. I had to get out of there. I was young enough to take that risk and kind of give up the guaranteed income and then build it back up. And I was able to build back up and beyond very quickly. But that didn't matter to me. I just had to get into something that was much less structured and allowed me much more flexibility and freedom to do things on my terms. And that insurance job certainly gave me that. But that is when the work-life balance, that phrase, started becoming really challenging for me. And it didn't, not at first, because when I first started with in that job, I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. I had very little responsibility. So I could devote all of myself into that career, right? And I did. I mean, I worked long hours, and my numbers reflected that. I did really good with that company in the first few years. And I did my entire career there, but I had to kind of change my approach as I started raising my family, right? Because I had to have some balance there. But when I started having the family, and which started with, you know, meeting my wife and then ultimately marrying her. And then we had our first child and then second child. I had to really, like, it was some bad habits that I made on the front end of that career that I had to get out of very quickly. And those habits were putting the job first, right? Putting the career before all else. I worked a handful of years where all I thought about was the job and making the next sale and finding the next prospect and things like that. And I was rewarded handsomely for that with a good income. But when I got married, now there's another priority, a bigger priority. And that was my wife. And that was our growing family. And it took me some time to restructure my mindset in a way that, and I still didn't perfect it. I talked in a recent episode several weeks back about the idea that I didn't really dial this in until after I left that job. So I still had some challenges with this whole quote unquote balance, theme, but I got better as I went because my family was that obviously that big of a priority to me. But the challenge with it was I grew early in my career, I only knew one way of doing things, and that was all in all the time, right? I didn't appreciate stepping away and slowing down and taking breaks and focusing on myself and my health, and my health actually suffered from that because, for a handful of years I was head down working, even after I had my kids, head down working, not taking care of myself at all. Any free time I had was with the family, and any time outside of that was focused on work. And as I grew in that career and had more responsibility and then started managing a team and that evolved, that was on my brain all the time. I couldn't get away from it, but I was still trying to balance my family, but I did not take care of myself at all for many years. I finally got that dialed in, fortunately. But what I was just referring to was the habits I created early on that were just get up, go grind, 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 sleep, grind, 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 sleep. I can rest when I'm retired. I can rest when I'm dead, that kind of mentality. And when I started raising my family or my kids and, obviously married my wife, I had to put a significant amount of work and effort into changing those bad habits I had early on. And I put in the work, right? I did it the best I could with a lot of effort, but I still had a job to do, right? I was married to that career, if you will, and I owed it all that I could give it. I owed the company that chose to put me in whatever role I was in. I owed them all of me. That's the only way I know how to do things. But that comes at a cost. The cost is my family. So as much as I tried early on to, make them a bigger piece of my time than the company I worked for, I was able to do that decently, but in my mind, I was always thinking about work and the next project and the next goal and all those. Oh, I could not shut it off. I could not shut it off. I remember Emma being a toddler, just barely walking, playing around. And I would spend a lot of time and, with her on the floor, playing around, playing with her dolls and stuff like that. And I remember vividly, like an hour would go by and I'm physically there. I'm physically playing with her and her toys. And an hour would go by and I have no idea what I just did. No idea. I don't re recollect anything that I had just done in the last hour with my daughter because my mind the entire time was thinking about work and thinking about my career and things like that. And she would say, "Daddy, Daddy," and I'd answer her and I would play and say all the right things. So in her mind, I was there. I was present, but I was not present. And that went on for many years. Same with my wife. We'd have conversations. And I mean, we talk about this now, but back in the day, we would have conversations. She would think I'm there. I'm present. I'm listening because I'm not. I hear you. Yep. And I would say all the things and answer all her questions, but I wasn't there. A lot of times I didn't hear a damn thing she just said in the last 10 minutes. And that's a problem. That was a big problem. A lot of times, it came with some adversity because I would be so deep in thought about my career while she's sitting here talking to me about something that's very important to her, should be important to me. And then she'll ask me about it a day or two later. Like she'll reference back to that conversation, and I had no freaking clue what she was talking about. No clue. And then the conversation, well, we just talked about this. Oh, yeah. And I'd have to kind of play it off, and now we laugh about it. But at the time, it was a problem. So I had to put in a lot of work to change that about myself. And this is where the whole work-life balance comes in. It's easier said than done. It's easy to say I need to have balance in my life. I need to prioritize the things that are most important, which should be your family, should be your loved ones. It's easy to say all that, but to actually put that into action and apply that mindset truly, it's not that easy. Should be, on the surface, it should be. You love these people. You love your family. But at the same time, the pride that I have in the work that I do for the career or the business that I'm in, that's a big deal to me too. And not as big of a deal as all the other stuff that's more important, but it's a big deal. And I had to teach myself strategies to balance the two better. And this is where the whole work-life balance thing comes in. So those strategies started with time blocking, really getting serious about, and I kind of ebbed and flowed with this. I would do good at it for a little while, and then I'd go back in the old direction. Then I'd do good a bit with it for a little while and go back in the old direction. It was kind of a little roller coaster at first when I started trying to implement this, but eventually I started dialing it in, and I would time block, like in my former career, I would block off, you know, time to make my phone calls, time to answer emails, time to, you know, schedule appointments, time when I became into a management role, time to spend with my employees and the staff and stuff like that. I'd block all that off. I had never done that before. I would just add things to the calendar as they come up, and the calendar would fill up and just basically fill up my entire week, and there was no time left off or left over. So I had to start with time blocking, and I did it decently and got better over the years and finally got that dialed in pretty good. But what I wasn't doing well was time blocking the family stuff, right? And I've talked about this before. I was very guilty of filling up my calendar with all the stuff I was just talking about and really sticking to my blocks. Like, I did pretty good with this for a number of years, where if from 9 to 11 I was supposed to be making prospecting calls, I'd make prospecting calls. I'd shut everything else down and I'd get on the phone and just hammer it out. If from 1 to 3 I was working on a particular project or a marketing thing or something like that, I'd take all other hats off and just have that one on. I did really good with that. But what I found myself doing is filling up every block of time with something work-related. And then when there were gaps, you know, I would then fill in the family time, right? And this wasn't as big of a deal during, like, the school year when they were in school. And my wife's a teacher. And, like, they would leave in the morning. They'd be at school all day. And I could just fill up the day with work stuff, right? But it was a big deal when I was starting to fill the evening time up with meetings and appointments and networking events and all these things that I was having to travel for and do a lot of stuff for. So now I'm blocking up all that daytime, and now 3-4 nights a week, sometimes I'd be blocking up all my evening time. And what was left? Weekends, you know, that it, usually, and we'd be doing sports stuff and just kind of bouncing all around. That weekends are usually chaotic. I wasn't giving any time. I wasn't prioritizing time for the family. So as great as time blocking worked, I still needed to implement an extra layer to make sure I wasn't filling up every waking minute with work stuff. Like, you can time block, and the idea of that is to block off time to do work and then take that hat off and go spend time with the family. But I was filling up all my time with work stuff, most of it. So then I had to really start, and I got disciplined with this, real disciplined with this my last 2 years with that company, and I had to. And why? Because I'd ramped up my real estate business significantly during that time. I was buying a lot of property. I was going to have to see property. I'd have to do that on my own time, not stealing time from the company. And then, you know, the bigger I got with the real estate stuff, the more of a conflict that became. But I started doing a better job blocking off less time for my insurance career, and I was still effective and doing my job as I needed to. But then what started filling up the rest of the time? Real estate stuff. I was waking up super early in the morning to hammer out stuff with that. I was taking breaks during the day to work on real estate stuff. I was nights and weekends working on real estate stuff. So I did a great job those last few years filling or taking my time and really laser focusing on it, so I didn't have to spend so much time with the insurance career. But instead of filling the gaps with family stuff, I backfilled it with real estate stuff, which was great. It was necessary to do what I'd ended up ultimately doing, but I was still compromising my family. So then I got to a point where ultimately, and I've talked about this story a million times, but I ultimately had gotten the real estate to a point where I was able to leave my career. So I left that career behind. I burned the ships and hit reset on everything time related. And my wife and I dug, I had to dig very deep to make some changes, but with her help and through a lot of communication. And we reset how we approach everything with time. It's not easy. We only have two kids, you know, but those two kids are always, JJ and Emma, they're always in at least two sports at a time, right? Now, we're parents. We can police that a little bit. We can say you're only doing one at a time or you're not doing this, this, this. No, we've chosen not to do that because we want active kids. We want our kids active. Both from a physical standpoint and a mental standpoint, we want them around other kids. We want them socially involved with things. We want them physically involved with things. We think that's healthy for them. And we, as their parents, coach a lot of it. We're involved with a lot of it. So we like that chaos. But when I left the job, my wife and I had to really dial in how I was going to approach time. Now that I was free from that career, and I kind of had to restructure everything around my new business that I was all in on. It wasn't a new business, but the business that now I was 100% focused on. And this is what we came up with. And this has ultimately resulted in what my wife would say and I say is nothing's perfect, but about as perfect of a work-life balance as we can have right now. And I'm going to walk through kind of our strategy with that. And I say this, going back to what I said early in this episode, there is no perfect work-life balance. It's just never going to be balanced unless, you know, your career allows for it. So there are weeks where what I'm getting ready to say does get thrown off because of just life happening, work happening, business, things I got to tend to, things she has to tend to, things that come up with the kids, all that stuff. So what I'm going to lay out, the strategy we use now, is not perfect. It still doesn't achieve a perfect balance, but it allows us to be about as perfect as we're going to get given the circumstances we're in. So what we started doing about 2 years ago is pretty much on a regular basis on Sunday, we do a couple things. The most important thing is we kind of discuss the next week's calendar, the upcoming week's calendar. So now we have a big wall calendar we keep at the house. My wife does an amazing job keeping doctor's appointments on there, ball games, practices, all those things. I still do a horrible job adding the stuff like when I have networking events and stuff. So that's still a work in progress, but we discuss every Sunday what the week looks like. And I'm going to walk you through kind of how that conversation goes. And it doesn't take long at all. We quickly do it. But let's say, so I used to fill up my calendar with work stuff, right? So every Sunday, if I looked at the calendar, the next 5 days were filled to the top with meetings, appointments, travel, all the things I was doing in that job. And then what did I do? Any gaps in there, I would fill in with family time. And those gaps were few and far between, other than the weekends. So we completely turned that on its head. And what we started doing is we look at the calendar kind of as a blank slate, knowing that there's some things that have to, you know, practices and stuff like that. And we map out what the family's week looks like. What days are the ball games on? What days are the swim meets on? What days are the wrestling practices, the cheerleading practices, the jiu-jitsu when we've got that going, the baseball, which is getting ready to start up? What days of the week is all that? Okay, put it on the calendar. And I fill my calendar that I have in my phone and on my computer, I fill that up with all that stuff. And then we look at, okay, what are some gaps in here that we're not so busy with all the practices and games and stuff that we can have some family time? Okay, let's say Wednesday and Friday, nothing going on after school. Wednesday and Friday, we're blocking it off. Wednesday, we're going to come home and we're going to cook this for dinner and we're going to have a family night. We might watch a show or two. We might play some games, but it's all family that whole evening, blocking it off. Friday night, Don't have school in the next day. Don't have anything early. We got to wake up for Saturday. We're going to do a movie night. We're going to stay up late. We might even go to the movies. We might go grab dinner, something like that. Block it off the calendar. It's done. So then after we go through that process, and you know that doesn't take very long at all, my calendar is pretty full with all family stuff. And then I start looking at the gaps I have available to do my laser focus work stuff. Now, keep in mind, there are some things that are already on the calendar from the weeks before that I can't compromise, right? So like podcasts, for example, most of my podcasts with guests are scheduled weeks in advance. If somebody scheduled to be on my podcast that, you know, I block off certain times available for the podcast, so they only have a few options to select. Let's say somebody selected 1 o'clock on Thursday. Well, if one of the kids has a doctor's appointment or something like that that conflicts with that, number one, I would have already known that. So I would have blocked off that time in my calendar so it couldn't be booked. But if that wasn't the case and then there's a conflict, then first option is, can my wife do it? She'll take off work, whatever she got to do to get them to the doctor's appointment. Maybe grandma will do it, or nanny, or somebody in our family can handle it. And if worst case scenario, none of that's available, I'll reach out to whoever I had scheduled and tell them what the situation. I had that happen recently. Tell them what the situation is. They reschedule. Everything's fine. But the point is, some things are already on the calendar, work related, that typically can't be compromised. But outside of that, I start filling in the gaps. So, okay, I've got a window here from 9 to 12 on Monday. Here's what I'm doing there. And that is going to be blitzing out weekly rambles or doing things, making phone calls, sending emails, replying to investors, whatever I've got to do. But I'll fill in those gaps. And here's what's happened. When we started this, what I'm getting ready to say was not even on my brain as a benefit of doing it this way, but it certainly has been one of the biggest benefits, other than, you know, obviously spending more time, more focused and intentional time with the family. But that benefit is when I block off time, I am so disciplined with my schedule now. I couldn't have said that 2 years ago. I couldn't have said it. I got things done, but it was not with a lot of discipline. But I am so locked in on my schedule now. When I have it blocked off from 9 to 11 to send out marketing stuff or prospecting for new borrowers, that is all I'm going to do. And what I get accomplished in that block of time is equivalent, let's say it's a 2-hour period. I do now more in 2 hours than sometimes I would do in a whole week trying to accomplish the same goal. Why? Because when I worked on it with no boundaries, I just kind of go in and out. Like, all right, I'll focus for 10 minutes. I get distracted. Let me take this phone call. Let me call this person. I'm hungry. Let me go get a snack. I'm bored. Let me go walk. I'll get to it later. So it allowed for a lot of procrastination with tasks. Now, when I have it on the calendar, blocked off 9 to 11, I'm going to prospect for new borrowers. Nothing is going to stop me. And I am going to get the absolute most out of that 2 hours I can ever get. So what it has caused me is I have learned how to be way more productive by creating boundaries around tasks, like time boundaries, that I get in, I get out, I knock it all out. Because I'm limited on time, I'm focused, my back's against the wall, which I work best that way. I create urgency and I get stuff done at a very efficient and effective rate now, compared to what I used to do, was just kind of wing it and go by the seat of my pants and trying to do 10 things at one time. That has been an absolute game changer in my life and in my family's life. Because once I take that hat off outside that, now I still think about work and my business all the time, right? But I have a lot better ability now to take the business hat off and silence my phone and just be present with my family now that I have created these boundaries around everything I do. I'm so strict and disciplined with these boundaries that it pisses me off when, because there's a lot of people close to me that knows I'm trying really hard to stick to these boundaries. But when somebody brings me something that urgently needs to be taken care of in their mind, but it is not by no means urgent, and it's done so in a way that compromises my schedule, right? That's how disciplined I am with it. And a lot of times I'm telling people no, or I'm going to give them the feedback that, hey, I'm sorry, man, this week is booked up, or next week is booked up. We're going to have to push that off. If it's extremely, extremely urgent, then we can talk. But your definition of urgent and mine are probably a little different. If I don't sense it to be urgent and you can't convince me that it is, it's going to have to wait. And it's going to have to fit into a block of time that I have for that type of work or whatever it is another week. And that's just how I approach things. And I've got to have those boundaries. And I'm way more productive for my business and for my family because of it. So in my mind, this has allowed, it's not in my mind. This is, I mean, it's tangible. We, my wife and I talk about it all the time. I am super present, more present than I've ever been in my life with her. She doesn't, I mean, I'm still a guy, right? So sometimes she'll get to ranting about her work day or some drama going on, this and that and stuff. So I have to pretend I'm interested. She doesn't listen to this podcast, so she's not going to hear this, but I have to pretend she's very aware of it, that I nod and I let her vent and I say all the things she needs me to say. I'm not going to remember a single thing she said sometimes with these things. But with the important stuff, I'm locked in. I know what she's talking about. I'm paying attention. There are no other thoughts that clutter my mind. Same with my kids. I'm no longer playing games with them while I'm thinking about the business. I've been able to separate the two. I mean, it's a complete 180 from where I was a couple of years ago. So I just looked down. I realize I've rambled for about 30 minutes, which is a little bit long for a weekly ramble. But this is a really relevant and timely topic for me as our business starts to scale and continues to grow at a really rapid pace. I have to maintain the boundaries and the structure that I have in place to protect my sanity, to protect my presence with my family, to protect my intentionality, and to protect my focus. And doing it this way, like I mentioned, has provided me with, it's like it's unlocked a vault for me mentally. When I block off this time to do certain things, I am dialed in. And I had never been that way in 40 years of trying different things. This is the best that's ever worked. So with that all said, that will wrap up another weekly ramble. I know it's a cliche topic, work-life balance. But those are my thoughts around it. And I encourage you to kind of, again, as I say every week, look at your own situation. What's your definition of work-life balance? Do you have it? Are you happy with that definition? Do you think there's some things you can tweak to have a little bit better balance and a little bit better presence with the things that matter most, primarily your health and your family and your loved ones and things like that? So take a look. Internally, take a look in the mirror. Are there some levers you can pull to get better and some strategies you can implement? Maybe some of the same ones I have. And let me know. Let me know wherever you're listening to this. Send me a message or drop a comment. Let me know your thoughts around this and if I can help in any way. But with that, we'll wrap up another Burning the Ships weekly ramble. And I really appreciate you guys, as always, supporting the show and following along. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.